Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 45 of Nerd Nuptial. I am super excited about this because we're that much closer to 50. I don't know why 50 is a milestone, but it is in my mind.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah?
I agree.
Halfway to 100.
That's right.
Yeah. Middle-aged, as it were.
Our show is middle-aged.
Our show is approaching middle-aged. if it leads a healthy life of,
right.
of 100, that is. Well, this week, what we're talking about is what we would like to see in Star Wars standalone films. The reason why we're talking about that is because this week, as you're listening to this, the day that it's released, we're releasing this on a Monday. That means that this Friday, Rogue One is coming out.
We're super excited.
I am severely stoked.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I'm most excited about is not so much that we get another female lead, that it looks amazing, that we're getting a different director's perspective. I think it's really that it's a film that is set aside from the Skywalker saga and the episodes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like having a new cast and yet it still takes place in that universe, I think it's an interesting idea. So I'm excited too.
Yeah, yeah, very much so, very much so. With Rogue One, we have talked about it a little bit here and there about like what we're excited about. Now that we've seen more trailers, now that we're just days away from the release, are you still as excited as you were when you first saw the trailer? Has it grown? Has it lessened? What do you think?
I think I'm still excited, like the same amount of excited. I'm pretty sure. Like I think I'm as excited as I was about The Force Awakens. So, I don't know, are you more excited or?
Oh, that's a tough one. With Force Awakens.
You had very high expectations.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I can say the excitement level might be the same, but my expectations are much lower for Rogue One.
Okay.
And I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever. Uh-huh. It's because with The Force Awakens, my expectations were way off the charts, completely unrealistic.
Could never be met.
No.
Yeah.
Like the only way they could have been met is if they were the perfect film or something better than A New Hope, which was never going to happen.
Right.
And I liked Force Awakens a whole lot more the second time I saw it because all those expectations were either met or not met, but I could move them aside.
Mm-hmm.
With Rogue One, I'm really just looking to be entertained. Like they don't really need to check any boxes that I have or any preconceived notions. With Force Awakens, it was like, I better see this. I better see this.
Yeah.
This better happen. You know, it better reach this benchmark. And I think that's one real benefit of it being separate from the episodes is that you really don't have to compare it to the episodes.
Right. So we only have like, you know, the Death Star. We see that Darth Vader is in it because of the trailer, but mm-hmm. there's not much else that we have to, you know, compare it to. So it's awesome.
Right. Like, we're not going to see Luke. We're mm-hmm. not going to see Leia. Han Solo's not going to sweep in at the last, although he better not. But speaking of Darth Vader, what do you think about Vader being in this standalone film?
I'm okay with it because I feel like if you're going to have a common thread throughout, then I'm okay with him being the common thread.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since, like, obviously, they're able to do it because of the suit allows that kind of thing. Whereas if we were trying to, you know, insert like a digital person.
Like Mark Hamill. Yeah, like a digital Mark Hamill.
Yeah, that would not work very well. We've seen that before in other franchises. So, yeah, I'm good with it.
My gut reaction was, I don't know. Like when I just saw like the back, like his reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the first trailer or in like a promotional material, I was just kind of like, let's leave it alone. Let's leave him alone. You know, like let's not have Vader in this. Let's just move on. But then when I saw him, the front of him, and he came out of that mist,
mm-hmm.
I was like, nope, okay, on board. Yes, let's do this. Let's see him choke force some fools. You know, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was.
So the cool factor overcame the
yes.
The fact that you were kind of hesitant.
And I think Gareth Edwards, the director, I think he knows what he's messing with. Like, he knows that he's kind of stepping on hallowed ground,
mm-hmm.
especially with using Vader.
Sure.
And so I feel like they would not abuse that privilege.
You have to be careful.
I really do feel like they have to be aware of that.
And I don't want to see a lot of him.
No.
Like, I'll bring that up. I don't want to see a lot of him. I just want it to be kind of like a quick thing.
Yeah. I don't think we will, because we've seen multiple shots from one scene mm-hmm. and then one minor shot from another. So I think that's probably all that we'll get.
Okay.
Because when you reference the Death Star, it's kind of hard not to show Vader.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because Vader, you know, I'm helped out.
Right.
A great deal. Like,
key player.
He was a key player in its construction and everything like that. So, but with that being the benefits of the standalone, what do you think are some pitfalls? Anything come to mind?
I think maybe some pitfalls might be them trying too hard to appease the fans. Like, you know, I mean, just because it has the Star Wars umbrella. So I feel like we just have to be careful to go in. Like, I mean, I feel like I went into The Force Awakens just kind of like, whatever I get, I'm happy with. And that's why I went out of it much happier than you when we first watched it. But I think that it could easily, each of these like standalone movies that we know that are coming out, I feel like if we have too many references to what we already know, it could possibly spoil that.
That's true.
I just kind of enjoy the world that we're in.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, the entire premise is a throwback. You know,
true.
You know, like is like where Force Awakens was supposed to propel us
mm-hmm.
into new territory, and some of the callbacks were better than others. This one is essentially one big callback.
That's true.
But I'm not discounting what you're saying, but I feel like you kind of have to go in knowing that like, okay, like this is building off of something that already exists. Like, its future is A New Hope.
That is true. The only thing, I just hope that they don't have to insert, like, I don't know, like, we haven't met Luke yet, so we don't need to put him in there. Like, we haven't, you know, I just don't think that we need to insert any characters that haven't made it to that point yet.
So I think what you're trying to say is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, you want it to be organic. You don't want it to be shoehorned in.
Right.
It's just like, hey, guys, remember that, huh?
Right.
Oh, huh? We got a reference to twin sons.
Well,
huh?
Because that's kind of, I felt some of The Force Awakens pitfalls was that, you know, like Han lines where it was talking about, you know.
Is there a trash compactor?
Exactly. That's the one I was saying. That's the one that...
Sorry, that was my old Han Solo.
that was coming to mind. Just that idea of, okay, I don't need that in this movie.
Right. You're absolutely right. We don't need that. Mm-hmm. We don't need a young, like, and we said it, you know, like, we don't need a young Luke. We don't need a young Leia. And I'm fine with like little references here and there. I feel like the visual cues, referencing visual cues would be much stronger than shoehorning characters or even like audio references. I feel like seeing the Death Star, like I need to get that little mousy droid. I don't know what it's called, but like that little that like RC black thing when it's like I would love to hear that go around.
Sure,
you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those kind of references
that.
I'm fine with. Yeah.
But I just don't want, you know, characters shoehorned in. I think mm-hmm. that's the main thing.
I cannot wait for Forrest Whitaker's character. I think he's the person that I'm looking forward to the most.
Yes.
In this.
Yeah, and he looks cool.
I'm scared that we're only going to get one scene with him.
Well, from what the trailer looks like, it kind of looks that way. But because it seems like every scene that we see him in the trailer, it's kind of like Vader. It looks like one scene.
That one scene in his hovel or whatever. Okay, so that's coming out in a couple of days. We, in 2018, we have two more standalones on the books.
Mm-hmm.
We got one in 2018, which is the Han Solo standalone. Mm-hmm. Then you have one in 2020, which is unnamed. I think it's unnamed. Last time I checked, it was. Some people think that that's going to be a Boba Fett story or something. I don't know.
To appease the fans.
I don't know why. Let's talk about Han Solo first, and then we can get into that. What do you think about a Han Solo standalone?
In theory, I think it's interesting because you know that he's had a lot of run-ins, with, you know, seedy people like Jabba and stuff like that. And, you know, that exploring that could be interesting. I just think that, the diehard fans not seeing Harrison Ford play Han Solo, I think it might just be too, I don't know. I kind of am like, let it be the way it is. Like, we meet Han in the bar, mm-hmm. and that's where his story begins. Like, we don't need to necessarily explore that.
I like the way that you put that, because that's kind of the camp that I'm standing in, is Han Solo exists in that cantina mm-hmm. on Tatooine. That is when he is introduced into this universe.
Right.
That's where we know him from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I'm sure some people argue with, like, disagree with me, and that's fine. This is all just personal opinion.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, to me, like, I remember I was talking to my cousin long time ago, when Revenge of the Sith came out.
Mm-hmm.
And after it came out, he was kind of pissed. He says, he's like, you know, he's like, we saw Chewie. We should have saw Han. And I was like, Han would have been like 10. and he said, he's like, no, they should have done it again. They had tons of other people introduced. They should have had it. And I was like, and I argue with him. I said, I was like, Han, we don't need to see Han.
No.
He does not become relevant to the story until the cantina.
Right.
Until that scene.
Right. And I mean, through reference, we know a lot about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a very well-developed character. So, I don't know. If you'd asked me in fifth grade, I would have been all over that. But now, I'm kind of like, leave them where they are.
Well, okay. So, like, as I was complaining just now, I started thinking, we're talking about standalones, stuff that is separate from the episode, separate from the Skywalker mm-hmm. saga. So, if we're doing standalone films that are separate from the Skywalker saga,
mm-hmm.
then I guess it's okay to explore this kind of material that's separate from the episodes and separate from Luke and Leia and Vader and everything like that. You know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to rationalize. It's happening whether we like it or not.
Right,
you know?
It's true. I was going to say, so there's nothing we can do about it.
I'm trying to get to that point where, okay, maybe it'll be fun. People are already, of course, speculating of what it could be about. Like, some people are thinking, you know, like, what if Han was actually a member of the Imperial Navy, you know, beforehand? No? Oh, you're giving me this smirk like, what? No.
Where is that coming from?
Oh, just a guess. Just like a guess? It just could be like a fun thing. Like, I don't know if I read that or thought of it, actually. now that I'm thinking about it, I honestly can't remember. But I have this image in my head. Where
did you dream it?
Maybe I did dream this. I don't know. Where Han, like a young, he's super young Han. He's a junior member of the Imperial Navy, like fresh out of the academy, and he is charged with running slave labor with Kashyyyk.
Okay.
And he meets Chewie, and he's just like, you know what? I cannot stand this. I didn't sign up for this crap. I didn't sign up to be a slaver. I signed up to be a pilot. And then him and Chewie hightail it out of there. I don't know. You're laughing like that's not a fantastic idea.
Okay. I mean, it'd be interesting. I'm not going to lie to you. I just never thought of it. And
no.
Yeah, I never thought of it.
Well, now that you know that a Han Solo film is out, what would you like to see? Or going to come out, what would you like to see?
I guess I'm okay with seeing him and Chewie, you know, pre-rebels, you know, like when they're joining Luke and everything like that. But I still feel like it should be left alone. I don't know. Like, I guess you could see, you know, all of the different, you know, because I'm assuming he's smuggled, you know, because of the Millennium Falcon. So maybe he used it in that way or something like that.
This might be pre-Millennium Falcon.
Maybe.
Because we know that he got it off of Lando in a card game. Maybe that's what we see in the film.
Maybe we see that.
Because we do know that Lando is cast.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So maybe that happens.
Yeah, maybe this is like, because how...
The origins of... that happening, like the Millennium Falcon and
everything. Because that's the thing, is like, how can you have a Han Solo film without the Millennium Falcon?
You have to.
You have to. Well, I don't care. I don't care if
he has to end up with it somehow.
Like, either he gets it at the beginning of the film, in the middle, or I don't care if it's the last 5 seconds of the film.
Right.
Like, we see it at, right before the credits. He's got to get the Falcon.
Yeah, I agree.
And then, like, mate, and Han Solo 2 is, you know, like the adventures of Chewie and Han. You know, like,
maybe. I don't know. I feel like you have. I don't know. You kind of have to have Chewie there too, in my opinion.
You well, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing. Is it like, you know, what's Han without Chewie?
Right.
You know, what's Chewie without Han? And and it's just, here's the thing, though. You know, with the episodes, you know, we get trilogies. You know, like, we got the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy. Now we're having the sequel trilogy. Now, some people, not as hardcore fans as we were, or are, were one, like, when Kathleen Kennedy announced that there was not going to be a sequel to Rogue One, people are like, what? Why? And, like, other people are like, it's called A New Hope. That's the sequel to Rogue One.
I was going to say, it's just setting up A New Hope.
Yeah. So that, there goes that question of, like, if we have this Han Solo standalone film, are we going to get another Han Solo standalone film if it does well?
I don't think that we should, but that's my opinion. Again,
like, are we gonna get a Han Solo trilogy? Because I feel like that's what we do now.
Yeah, it's true. I hope not, though.
Here's the reason why I hope not, because I want to get, like, if they're gonna do episodes every other year and then a standalone story in those off years, I don't want to get that filled up with a Han Solo trilogy. Like, I don't want dual competing trilogies. I want those standalone films, like those offshoot stories, so that we can get variety.
I get that.
So, with that in mind, what would you like to see moving forward? Like, what would you like that 2020 standalone film to be?
Well, I think that for, especially, like, the fans of, like, Star Wars Rebels or, like, the Clone Wars, I feel like that world, since it's newer and it has characters that don't are more standalone as it is, you could easily do, like, a trilogy with those characters, and they seem to be really popular. I don't watch it, but you like it.
I was going
to
say, you just gained a lot of points and then lost a little bit more.
I know I did. I shouldn't have admitted
I was like,
that.
There's so many fanboys out there like, oh my God, the girl recommends a Clone Wars movie.
No, I think that that would be really smart, though, because if you did it, you know, live action, you know, then you're kind of exploring that's maybe exploring those favorite stories, but, you know, you could really, I feel like anytime it's new characters, I think that's why hopefully Rogue One will work is because we've got new characters, even though we're still in that same universe.
Right.
So I'm okay with the idea of maybe exploring the earlier, or the later even. Well, as a kid, I'll earn back a little bit of nerd points here. As a kid, I would go to the library every week, and I would, you know, check out, like, the Star Wars books that happened after Jedi. So, like, when Han and Leia had kids, and their kid, like, they had twins, and I think they had one kid who, like, went bad.
There was, who was Mara Jade? Is that, like, Luke's wife or something? Something like that.
But anyway, like, I really enjoyed those stories because they were, like, helping their kids and, like, you know, develop their powers and everything like that. And Leia was, like, developing hers, too. So I really enjoyed that. Now, it'd be a little harder because, obviously, they've let so much time pass before they've tried to explore this. But that's why I kind of would suggest, like, a Rebels or a Clone Wars reboot, you know, of this world. But I know that's those are mainly beforehand.
Yeah, the Rebels is, like, takes place, like, before Rogue One. Like, it's in between, it's like, how many years? Crap. It's however old Ezra is, after Revenge of the Sith, and I think it's about 5 years before Rogue One and A New Hope and everything like that.
Okay.
Clone Wars takes place between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith.
Right, right.
Now, with... I think that's a lot of fertile ground because even though they had a TV show dedicated, like, seasons of television dedicated to between two movies, it's there's still fertile ground to go to, but I don't know if they're if they would so early. I think down the line that's an absolute possibility. But for some reason, I feel like because we're in Rebels mm-hmm. and because we just got done with Clone Wars,
we don't
Wars,
need to do it this early.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that. And I don't know, because I didn't like the prequel so much, I'm okay with exploring maybe after.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, The Force Awakens explores after.
Right.
But
I feel like yeah. the sequel trilogy is going to deal with post.
Right.
You know, like Force Awakens and post Jedi.
Right.
Well, actually, well, no, that's not true. Like, we might get a standalone film that takes place between Jedi and,
that's true.
And Force Awakens. There's lots of time in between there.
I was going to say, I'd like to see that
yeah.
if I had a choice.
Because they have been releasing the books, which are quote unquote canon until they get contradicted on screen. But I think that definitely would be interesting because I think that one huge thing that Force Awakens had against itself was that it did not world build enough.
Mm-hmm.
It did not fill those gaps between Jedi and
I
Force
agree
Awakens
with that.
Enough.
I agree. I think we had to imagine a lot.
Yes. We had to give JJ the benefit of the doubt a lot when it came to world building. Mm-hmm. My gut reaction, like the first thing that I want to... Actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what the first thing I'm going to... Like, second thing I want to see is... Okay, you know I'm a huge fan of the Jedi Apprentice novels.
Mm-hmm.
I still have them in my drawer.
Yeah, you brought those from home.
Yes.
Into our marriage.
Those will stay with me. For those of you who don't know what those are, they're young adult books. They came out after The Phantom Menace came out. And it's all about Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan's... master apprentice relationship before The Phantom Menace. And so the first novel starts with Qui-Gon Jinn picking Obi-Wan to be his apprentice. And then the subsequent novels are just their adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, when I read the first one, I was turning 13 that summer. And in the novel, Obi-Wan is turning 13. And the thing in this series, as a Jedi, as a future Padawan, if you weren't picked by a master before your 13th birthday, you were shipped off. Like you wouldn't be able to become a Padawan. You weren't going to be a full-fledged Jedi Knight.
Mm.
You would be shipped off to some farm, I think, or something like that, where you'd be in charge of agriculture. I think there was a couple different options, but that was the big one, was that like you would be in charge of agriculture as a force-sensitive being helping things grow.
Okay.
And I always thought that was really interesting. And so Obi-Wan was freaking out because
sure.
a master still hasn't picked him. And Qui-Gon didn't really feel a connection right away. And so I think, but anyway, like everyone should go read it because it's, they're really well written and they're really well done and they're really quick reads because it's a young adult novel.
It's
for kids. And like you could read probably 10 of them in a weekend, no problem.
But you'd want to see that.
I want to see that really bad. But as I'm talking, I want a Clone Wars series of that. I want a Rebels of those of that story because I don't think one film would do it justice. Like maybe one film of like Obi-Wan being picked by Qui-Gon, like the beginning, maybe that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I want a series of that.
Okay.
And
but that apprenticeship.
That apprenticeship. Yeah. But I feel like the only way that you could do that is way off into the future, like when you are able to actually recast Liam Neeson's part.
Mm.
Because Liam Neeson is at that age where he's not, you know, like, I don't know, like Harrison Ford is not a young man.
No.
And neither is Liam Neeson.
No.
But we saw Qui-Gon Jinn older.
Right, exactly. It's true.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Interesting. So what was the first thing you want?
First thing that I want so bad, and I think the internet agrees with me, and this better be what we get in 2020. And because if we get a friggin' Boba Fett story, I'm gonna lose my mind because I don't think anybody really wants it.
Well, I just don't like his story is so brief in the movies. And yet he's a fan favorite. I mean, he was my favorite. I'm not going to lie. Like, I had like a Micro Machine action figure thing of Boba Fett, like, and I would play with. But I don't know what the fascination is.
I don't either. Is it just the armor? Is it just because he looks cool?
I think it's the cool armor.
That's so weird.
The mystery of it. But then don't you want to leave the mystery? Because yeah. That's how I feel.
Look what happened in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah. That was, okay.
They almost ruined his character.
They did.
Like,
yeah.
Like seeing little Boba as a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, didn't need that. Like Patton Oswalt has a really good bit about the prequels. About like, he says back in the day, like, what would happen if he ran into George Lucas? And George Lucas is like, hey, you like Star Wars? Yeah, I do. He's like, yeah, I'm making a movie about Vader as a kid. He's like, oh, is he all like evil, like a Damien type thing, like from The Omen? He's like, no, he loses his mom and he's really sad. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, you like Boba Fett? He's like, yeah, I do. Oh, and the armor and the missile and everything like that. Like, do you talk about him too? He's like, yeah, he loses his dad and he's really sad. And I lost my mind because it's so funny.
That is really funny.
But that's the thing is that, like, you're right. The mystery of it. Like,
I feel like that's the appeal.
Absolutely. We have no idea where he came from. Well, now we do. But like, right. Beforehand, we had no idea where he came from.
We didn't know if he was alien or not.
Yeah, right? We had no idea if he was alien or human or a robot. We had no clue.
But then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
But
know.
Then everything was revealed and just...
Yeah. I don't think that that's necessary. And I feel
I
like...
so either.
I feel like it just kind of will be a hot mess if that's the case. Like, unless they really... work on some, I don't know, like completely separate and almost make him like he's got to have like a gang of people around him. But you can't just do it just about Boba Fett. And also Boba Fett was kind of like a loner. Like, come on, you know, like you don't need that.
He works
also
alone,
we know how he goes out. We know how he dies.
Or does he?
Well, according to Robot Chicken.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fan fiction and a lot of, like, so many fan films and so many references where, like, and then he shoots out of the, you know, the desert, you know, thing with teeth. I said something inappropriate.
I know, I knew.
Yeah, you knew what I was going for.
I knew.
And I stopped myself.
This is a family show.
This is a family show on a family network, and I stopped myself, and I should be rewarded. So, but yeah, we don't need a Boba Fett movie. And the only way that I could see them actually making it work is if it was, I don't know, like, it would have to be, he would have, I don't want to see him as a kid.
No.
I don't want to see him as a teenager.
No, I don't need that.
I want to, like, if we do have to see him, I want to see him very established and just a complete anti-hero. Like, I want to see him do bad things and not like, oh, you know, like Suicide Squad, we're bad guys, you know, like nothing like that. I don't want to see that. Like, we're like, they're bad guys and not really bad guys. Like, I want to be like Frank Underwood, like you're rooting for him, but he's doing horrible things.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
I get that.
But
I don't think that character has enough going for him to have that happen.
I just don't think he has the legs. He just doesn't have the depth.
How many lines did he have?
5 in the original trilogy.
And yeah, okay.
And one of them was
Right. Right.
So.
Okay, what do you want to see?
An Obi-Wan story.
I could definitely get behind that.
And do you know the main reason why?
Why?
Ewan McGregor.
Oh, yeah. I think he would do a great job, obviously.
He's the right age.
Yeah.
He's down for it. Like he said, he's like, yeah, no one's talked to me yet, but I would totally do it. And we could do, like, we could do a standalone Obi-Wan film on Tatooine, where, like, he's looking after Luke, and you could cast anybody to be Luke if it's young enough.
That's very true.
And it could be one of those stories of, I don't know, like, what happens on Tatooine? Does he have to leave Tatooine? For a little bit, you know, like, and he's freaking out about it. He's like, I don't want to leave Luke, but I have to for his safety or something like that. Or does it all take place on Tatooine? It's about him adjusting to life, being a hermit.
Right.
And, you know, like in Clone Wars and Rebels, we find out that Darth Maul is actually still alive.
Oh.
And he has a pair of robot legs.
Okay.
What if we see that showdown? What if we see Darth Maul actually find Obi-Wan again? And they
obviously Obi-Wan needs to win.
Yeah, yeah. And Obi-Wan wins, and like we actually have that real showdown. And what if he's threatening Luke? What if he takes Luke hostage? Yeah. You know, like something like that. And
erase his mind.
Yeah. Oh, does do that whole like, yeah. you know, Kylo Ren thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I really want to see that mainly for Ewan McGregor. I think we need to take advantage of Ewan McGregor at this age.
Take advantage of the actors you still have
yeah.
that are of workable age where we don't have to do CGI the crap out of their faces like Leia.
Well, and also like he's still young enough to do a physical role.
Right, it's true.
You know, like to he's be young. A Jedi and yeah. jump around and do everything
can,
like that.
We can work with that.
Yeah, yeah, like Alec Guinness, not so much. He wasn't able to.
Right. No, I would totally be behind that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it also kind of would be interesting because I think it might be it would remind me more of that Logan picture that'll be coming out.
Yes.
Where it's a different feel in the universe where
I'm loving what you're saying.
Well, thanks.
That's all these sexy things are coming out your mouth right now. And it's making me sad that there's mics in between us. But keep going. Keep going.
But no, like the idea of, you know, we're in this same Star Wars universe, but it's a different feel. It mm-hmm. maybe feels a little bit more independent. It feels a little bit more
maybe slower.
Slower. Like, yes, there probably will be that Darth Maul fight in it, but you don't have to dwell on it the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happens, but it's really about the journey.
Yeah. There's a guy who, the guy who voices Darth Maul in Clone Wars and Rebels is, he's also a physical actor too. Like, we've seen him on screen a couple of times, and he looks like he could play Darth Maul.
Oh, okay.
And I basically what I want is like just get him to do it, like just get the voice actor to do it, because he spent more time playing Darth Maul than the guy who played him in the first one. Sure. And the guy who played him in the first one, it wasn't even his voice.
Right.
Like he's yeah. Australian.
True.
And he's also shorter. Like Darth Maul was actually pretty short. I think even shorter than me. And so Sam, I can't remember his last name. Sam W something, Sam something W, like is a great deal taller, and I'm just like, well, he's got robot legs now, so
sure, he'll be taller,
like just like Darth Vader, you know, like just
right,
like
right, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Anakin wasn't that tall, but Vader's that tall because he's got the robo legs,
right?
And I just, we have these actors, they look right,
they're willing to do it,
and but the problem is though. Is Rebels is kind of building towards that meetup.
Oh, are they?
Right now. And I'm scared that if we get that in Rebels, we're not going to get that in a movie.
I could see that.
I would much rather get it in a movie than in Rebels.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then you're going to compare it.
Yeah. And then
in your mind, you know.
And like they say that Rebels and Clone Wars is quote unquote canon. So if they want to keep that up, then they would have to do it exactly the way that it happened in Rebels or not at all.
True. True.
So I just...
So it probably won't happen. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. But we can
dream, though.
But we could still get an Obi-Wan standalone film. It just wouldn't be true. With Darth Maul if true. That meetup actually happens in the TV yeah. show. Now, okay, we've been referencing a lot of stuff like, you know, like we're doing the Han Solo film. That's a mm-hmm. pre-existing... character. There's rumors of a Boba Fett film that's a pre-existing character. You know, I really want a
Obi-Wan.
An Obi-Wan movie. What about utilizing a new character? Now, I'm not talking about... Now, Jen Erso, she's a new character.
Mm-hmm. Ray's a new character.
Ray's a new character. But with Jen and everybody else in Rogue One, those are new characters in a familiar situation. What if we got a new character in a situation that was not referenced in any way, shape, or form? What if it was just a movie that took place in the Star Wars universe? What if we followed a bounty hunter doing something that has nothing to do with the Skywalker saga? Saga? Saga?
Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. Ahsoka. No. Yeah, we get a bounty hunter that has nothing to do with the Death Star, nothing to do with the Skywalkers, nothing to do with Han Solo, the Clone Wars, Rebels, nothing. It's just a bounty hunter in the Star Wars universe. So you get the laser guns, you get the maybe they're on Coruscant, or mm-hmm. I don't know, just something like, what do you think about that?
I don't know if people will get behind it. Like, I'm okay with the idea of it, but I feel like it has to all have that connection. Even though I know I said earlier that I don't necessarily want it, I just feel like they're not going to make a movie just like that. Does that make sense?
The things that you're saying are less sexy than what you were saying earlier.
Well, I know, but I it's not like I'm saying I agree with it. Like, I would be okay with it just being in that universe.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You are right, though.
Because I think it has to have some type of connection. But, like I said, I mean, I'm okay with, like, this Darth Vader connection in Rogue One, but I don't necessarily need a main character in every single one,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But can you imagine them making a movie that's not involving in some way? I mean, I feel like Obi-Wan's a stretch because it's more of a minor. No, I'm serious, because look, we're looking at Han Solo,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have Darth Vader in the Rogue One one. I just feel like...
You're forgetting about the prequels. He was basically the lead in the prequel movies.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying now, after all that... I don't see it happening.
Well, I feel you're right, but at the same time, if you're right about that, then you'll probably be wrong about, like, the indie slower feel.
I don't think it'll happen, but I would like to see it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, I would like to see that too, because, like, there's no way that Kathleen Kennedy is going to produce a film that is of slower pace and introspective
mm-hmm.
with the Star Wars brand on it, because that's not why people go to a Star Wars film.
Right.
They go for the explosions.
Right.
And
it's true.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But it just, I wish we could get that. And I wish we could get that standalone film that was not connected just in the universe. But I guess that's why we have novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can explore it further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you had an idea of, like, exploring the Clone Wars universe. Is there anything specific you'd want to see in a standalone film, like in any character, any reference, like anything that you saw in the original trilogy where you're just like, you know what, we need a movie about that, like that kind of reference, like maybe that could be the sequel to Rogue One, is where the Bothans died.
I don't know. I feel like those are so good and complete that I'm okay with it the way that it is. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a world that I wouldn't mind. I guess I was always interested in Leia's home environment.
Alderaan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That could be
cool. I was always interested in that, and I felt like I needed more of a connection when, you know, it was destroyed.
Yeah.
So I think that would be interesting.
Hmm.
Like a young, a very young, like a teenage Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
Well, we practically saw her. Like, we did see her as a teenager.
It's true. She was a teenager, I guess.
I forgot that Carrie Fisher was that young.
She's super young.
She was 19?
Yeah, that's insane.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So, I guess, how young do you want to go?
Yeah, that's out the window.
But I always, with my Barbie dolls, I would always play, pretend that they were on Alderaan and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know.
It's super cute.
With my Han, I don't know why Han was at Alderaan. It didn't make sense, but it's okay.
Doesn't matter.
It was my world.
It's your play pattern,
that's right, as it were. It's my play pattern.
Your play pattern. That's an inside joke that no one else will get. I was always on Endor.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what, like, when I was playing with my figures or, like, imagining or pretending, I was always on Endor. I'd always put on one black winter glove, and jump around with a yellow stick, because I didn't have a green one.
Oh, okay. I think when I played with my neighbor kids, I would always play on Endor because it was easier to imitate because of, like, forest,
mm-hmm.
like with trees and stuff. But when I was, like, playing with my Barbies and my G.I. Joes that I collected, the Star Wars ones, even though Leia kind of, like, was really muscular, she, like, could beat up all the other Barbies. But she probably would have, so that's okay.
No, absolutely.
I would play, like, different worlds, and I always used to, like, imagine the worlds that they didn't go to.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see more of Alderaan. We got a little snippet of what it looked like in Revenge of the Sith, just like one shot.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
But it was beautiful, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, I would like to see this. I would like to establish more of a connection, even if it wasn't entirely shot on Alderaan,
mm-hmm.
if something involving Alderaan were to happen in a standalone film, so we would have more of that connection. Yeah.
That Cloud City environment, too, always fascinated me as well. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I think that's good. I think we definitely delved deep into the standalones of what we liked and what we would like to see and what we wouldn't want to see and what we basically have to live with because it's happening.
I was gonna say.
Gatling Kennedy has not spoken to me in months.
Well, dare she?
So I don't think she's not answering my calls anymore. So I don't think I'm going to have any more input on the standalones. But I am super excited about Rogue One. And what I'm really excited about as well is you guys reaching out to us and letting us know what you want to see in a standalone film.
Yeah. Are you like, you're completely off base? You're totally wrong. I want to see a Boba Fett movie. Mm-hmm. Or is there another idea that you've always played with that you want to see?
Absolutely. So please go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from that menu. That'll send us an email. We will read it. And if you give us a good comment, maybe we'll read it on air. One other thing that we'll read on air, if you do, is if you go to iTunes, search Nerd Nuptial, give us a 5-star review, we'll give you a mention, a shout out on the show. You can give us whatever kind of review you want, but if you give us 5 stars, that's when you get mentioned on the show. And we really do appreciate it. Please, everyone who are listening to this, if you enjoy us and you like this entertainment that we're giving you, please take, it takes 30 seconds, please take the time and do it. It's a way of you talking to us, and this is our way of talking back. One other thing that you can do is go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty. It's a great geek box subscription service. We've done it. We've loved it. We like it so much. They give you really great stuff, really great geek merchandise for $40 worth of merchandise for less than $20. We're talking like Pop Funkos, comic books, action figures. Some of this stuff is exclusive. And if you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in code nerdparty at checkout, you'll save even more money off of that. And what else should they do? Should they go to nerdparty.com and check out some of other shows?
I think so. There's a lot of shows on there now.
A lot. We got Star Wars shows. We got a Star Trek show. We've got a writing and pop culture show, catching up on cinema, a general geek podcast. We got so much. And also, this is a little tease. We got a new show coming in the new year. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you guys are going to really love it and really look. And so you should look forward to it. Look for it in early next year and keep coming to thenerdparty.com to check it out. And also go to facebook.com/thenerdparty. Give us a like.
I love you.
I know.
Hello!
Meant to do it.
Thank goodness. I thought I was doing this 1,000 years of digestion alone. How did you fall in?
What? Fell in? Volunteered. More like it. You should have seen it. You would have dug it the most. I was flying around with my jetpack, just smoking rebels with my laser. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Han Solo was all, hey, wait. And I'm like, oh, I've been waiting for this for a long time, Solo. Ba-bang. The big bad Wookiee be growling in hell now. I even put one between Skywalker's eyes, right between those pretty baby blues. But then Jabba the Hutt was all, oh, no, this guy's too badass, man. So then 80 Jedi showed up. I took out about 67 of them, but then 20 dudes finally flanked me. And I was like, you know what, kids? It's been real, Daddy-O, but I'm not giving you the pleasure. So I jumped into the pit myself. On the way down, I was thinking maybe I should have left him a party favor. Oh, I did. A thermal detonator right up their ass. Ba-boom!
Oh, that's awesome. At least you didn't go out like a punk.
Yeah. Oh, because I looked like a badass.
Are you crying?
Yo. Huh? That's funny. I'm okay.